feels his love this morning. And it's always something special whenever we come to be together with each other and with those of Black Precious Faith, and just to see how the Holy Spirit just comes in each one, bringing just a little portion of him in. It's just so wonderful to be part of the church family. We enjoyed the song service. We want the musicians take their seats. It's happening in the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I was just sitting back there thinking, Brother Tim singing the song and the different trials each family's been going through. And just, you know, when you see families going through something and then you hear that they got something else thrown at them, and it just, you know, makes you pray for them more than ever before. And so, but I was just thinking when Brother Tim was singing that song, and you know, I want to be polite, okay? Would you just, you know, just let me be in my position for a moment. So I see Brother Tim up here, knowing the struggles that he's going through, and him sitting here singing a song, worshiping the Lord. And I see people here that I know that they have turned down jobs, making more money, but it would take them out of church. Follow me? The Queen of Sheba, Jesus said the Queen of Sheba would rise with that generation. Jesus was talking to them. And he said the Queen of Sheba would rise with that generation and condemn that generation because she came all the way across the desert, did all the things she did to seize the gift of Solomon. And Jesus said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Yeah. And so that generation that wouldn't hardly listen to the things Jesus had to say, we're going to be judged by that Queen of Sheba. Because she put forth a lot more effort than they did to see something lesser than what was standing before them. And so I said all that to say this, is that there will be no excuses. I think my Aunt Mary and I were talking about that this morning, the message so available all across, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like a buffet. Mm-hmm. You can pick what you want. It's all available. Right. You can be fed to the maximum with the Word. There will be no excuse.
No.
And I hope the ones that are, there are some out this morning, I know that they're sick, and I'm not talking about that. I was reading the quote this morning, and Brother Bram said, I believe it's a sin to hunt, fish, or work on Sunday when you could go to church.
Right.
Yeah. Now, if you're out somewhere on a vacation, he said, you're out somewhere, that's fine. There's no church around. But when you know you could be in church and you don't,
right?
And so when you don't make decisions and make provisions for it, I mean, if we can't do that, when do we expect God to speak to us?
Right.
If we don't do that, then we probably don't have a prayer life.
Right?
And so that has nothing to do with what I want to share this morning, but I, you know, when you see that and you have a desperation, Brother Daniel's number talking about, it concerns him. It concerns the ministry when people aren't coming. And so we know they have struggles. We all have struggles.
Right.
But it's like what Brother Daniel said the other day, you know, when he gave his heart to the Lord, and I can look back on my life. My wife can tell you the same thing. I've never had to be forced to go to church.
No.
Never. Because there's something in me that wants it.
Right. Yeah.
And so I realize that if people are missing, that just shows a sickness, that shows a weakness, that shows something there that they need to address and that needs to change. And so you just bear with me. So it's good to be with you this morning. I just want to remind you that next Sunday we'll have our annual business meeting. And so we'll just conduct that like we normally do. Yeah. Good to see Elijah and Rachel back.
Right.
It's a long drive, wasn't it? So anyway, we just prayed that you had a good time and a safe trip back. And apparently you did. So we appreciate that. So we're going to open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 3. It's chapter 3. We can read verse 1. I don't mean to keep you standing. You know me, I don't like imposing. You know, but we'll stand for the reading of the Word and pray, and you can be seated. Last week I was, sermon was expressing masculinity. Today's part 2, but it really, restoring masculinity today. And so just pray that the Lord would have the blessings to his word. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. You know, and before we read this, you know, when people, you know, a person, a family, a nation, when they make wrong decisions, there's consequences.
Right.
And it seems like people have lost that concept, you know, do things and they're just astounded that then something happens because they've made a bad decision. Yeah. Israel had turned their back on the Lord over and over and over, and God had, you know, and so the Lord said, you know, it's time for a spanking. So this is what we're reading. So, behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Sounds like the judgment, right? He's taking away things that they need because they've turned their back in. So he's taking that away. He's taking away the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient. These are all good qualities that you want,
right?
And he's taken away. The captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. This is what happens when a curse comes upon a nation.
Yep.
Right? Takes away the ancient and the wise and all that, and then lets children become their princes.
Yep.
Right? And babes begin to rule over them. In other words, those who don't have wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. Who wants to be president of the United States now? It's a sinking ship, right?
Yeah.
Looking for somebody to be and be over this. Well, who wants to be over this ruin?
Yeah.
And in that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The shoe of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy thee ways of thy paths. And then I want to go to Psalms 91. We'll begin reading a verse 1 there. Psalms 91, 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. We'll just end right there. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord Jesus, as we come to this portion of the service, we give it all to you. We ask, God, that you would quicken this word to your children's heart. It does not lie within a man to quicken the word. It's only you, Lord, that can do that. And so we ask, God, that you would do that, because, Lord, we know that your word, it says that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And so, Lord, it is our desire that your people walk in life, walk in the abundance of it that you provided. So we pray, God, that you come this morning, speak to every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, you may be seated. Sorry for keeping you there. So I'll be just reviewing a few things from last week as we go, just to kind of get the ground, hit the ground running again. And so I wanted to read a quote. I read it last week. Find it. It's from Shalom. Brother Bram said, "There seems to be something among men. Men don't seem to have the masculine touch he used to have. Women don't have that feminist touch she used to have. You take men today, men don't seem to be burly like they used to be. It's some sort of a, they want to wear suede shoes with purple, and they want to act like women." Now, that is true. And it seems to be more or less like a perversion. A woman wants to cut her hair and act like a man, and a man wants to act like a woman, see? And yet you can talk to them, and they're nice people to talk to, nice people, friendly, sociable people. Brother Ben said, "What caused this? It is gross darkness upon the people. It's something that's pressed them into it." Now, just a little backdrop to that quote right there. When Brother Branham starts that sermon, he's reading the scriptures in Isaiah where it said darkness, gross darkness upon the land and upon the people. But it goes on to say, "But the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." And so Brother Branham comes along and he preaches his shalom, and shalom means peace. But he also said it means good morning, right? And so you realize that as time is passing away, which we're at the end of the ages, and we're going to move into eternity, that he's saying, in this hour when there's gross darkness upon the people and upon the land, to his church, it's shalom. It's peace.
Right.
It's a new day for us.
Right.
So you realize that as the world is just having the darkness that they're having, gross darkness upon them, while that's going on out there, the believers should be moving into peace, into a new day, into shalom. And so then Brother Bram shows here, he says, one of the signs of this gross darkness is that men are no longer men, and women are, you know, men aren't masculine, and women are getting away from being feminine. And he said, what's caused this? It's darkness. The gross darkness that the scripture said would come, as it would get here, it would begin to press upon people, and it would cause this to happen.
Right.
And so that's why I want to talk about restoring masculinity. I mentioned last week that the scripture said that Elijah would come and restore all things. And to restore is to restore things that what has been lost. And then in Acts chapter 3, I think it is, it says that in the times of restitution of all things, Jesus would come.
Yeah.
And so, because the thing that we lost, the thing that Satan took away from us in the fall, was the Word, was the presence of the Word in our lives. And so, if the times of restitution of all things come, the only thing that could happen would be the very thing that we had lost would come back.
Yeah.
So the Lord would have to come, because he is the Word, and he's the thing that is life. He's the thing we lost. And so, but the Word can only come to a prophet. So that's why Elijah would have to be here and would restore all things. Elijah would be here and bring the Word back to the people. And it would be the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And I said, I think the other day, a lot of people said, "Well, I don't believe he's here or whatever." But he's here. Whatever form he had to come in order to have an invisible union with us, that's the form he's here in. He came. And I receive it at that, and I trust that you will too, that's the form that you embrace him in that way, and that is the revealed word of the hour. And so, if we have this restoration taking place and going on, and we follow the things that come in that restoration, then only with our eyes shall we behold these things. It won't come nigh our dwelling.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Only with our eyes. If we take this restoration word that has come, and if he's coming in word form and we receive him, then it'll change our lives individually, our homes, our church, and these things will not come nigh our dwelling. If you remember the last plague in Egypt, right, was death.
Right.
And the thing that they had to have to keep death from coming into their homes was the token.
Right.
The literal life of Christ. So the literal life of the word coming in this restoration, if we'll let that in and take hold of our lives, then that death angel cannot get into our lives, into our homes, into our churches.
Amen.
If we stay with it, if we do that. And so this restoration is on. It's the word. I can talk to people. They've never heard this stuff. They go to church, but what do they hear? Because it's not being preached. See, that's not, they had people out there have not received the vindicated restoration of the word that God has sent. And so, in expressing masculinity or restoring masculinity, I was saying last week how that God, in God, was both male and female attribute. Mm-hmm. And we realize when God made man on the earth, Adam was an earthly representation of God. And so what you see happening in Adam is exactly God declaring what happened in him. And so God had in him both male and female, masculine and feminine attributes. In God. Just think of God. And he had in him male and female, masculine and feminine. Right? He chose to do that. You can say, well, it's all God. But then you realize he wants to show you that he breaks himself down and shows that he's got masculine portions and he's got feminine portions. They're different. He made them different for the purpose of expressing himself.
Right.
So he made them different. And so the masculine, the male, is giver of seed. Mm-hmm. Female is receiver
right.
of seed. The masculine is stronger in the physical appearance than the female is. And so you understand. And so he made those two parts. And so, we just have to try to wrap our heads around this. But in God there was a part of God that is to lead, and God had a part in Him that said, "I've got to follow."
Yeah.
There's a leader and a follower, a male and a female. And so, how many knows that the Holy Spirit knows how to come into us and help us follow the Word?
Right.
Same God who's leading us. It's the same God that come in and can play the female part to follow the word as our husband, which he is.
Right.
And so there's a part in God that can be and is and can give the seed, and there's a part of God that knows how to receive that seed into the womb of the heart and to express those things. And so there's a part of God that part, and you know, this is the hard part to wrap your head around, but because of these two things, there's a part of God that cannot be deceived, then there was a part that could be. Because
yeah.
He chose it that way. And you say, well, that's kind of, you mean God can be deceived? Listen, see? So, when I said the other day, a man cannot be deceived, he cannot be impregnated, he cannot be perverted, because the only thing he can do in reproduction is give of himself, his own seed. It's not like he can choose and give different seeds and Satan can come to him. And now when he goes and he fathers a child, now it's somebody else's child. No, it's his. That's all he can do. But when you have a female and she can receive it from wherever. And if she's ordained of God to be married to this man here, so to one, say Christ or one person, then that's who she's ordained to be to receive seed from. And if she receives seed from somewhere else, she's now perverted. She's polluted because she's not following the perfect predestinated plan of God that he had for her. So there is a husband that God has for you. And just like Brother Brim said, you can live together all these years for 50, 60, 70 years in the way of husbands and wife and be as pure as can be. Why? Because that's the one you're supposed to be with.
Yeah.
But if you receive it from somewhere else, then it's wrong. And so now these things are church, Christ in the church. Look at Christ in his church. We are ordained of God to receive him and him alone. The word of God and him alone.
Yeah.
If we receive some other teaching, then it's not Christ. And now we're perverted.
Right.
It's a simple concept, okay? So there's a part of God that when he spread himself apart here into two parts and now made himself a feminine part, a receiver of seed, something that could be gotten to with some other seed if not protected. So he never intended for that female part being separated to be left out here vulnerable, because she is vulnerable, left alone out here by herself, because Satan would come to that. Just like I said the other day, you don't have to go out and plant things out in your yard, seeds in your yard. You can just sit back and watch, and they come on their own. Yeah. Right? If you want a specific seed there, then you have to. But my point is if you don't protect your yard and your garden, if you don't get out there and keep that seed's coming, the birds will bring it in, the wind will bring it in, something's going to make sure that womb receives. And so that's my point, is if Christ is not husband of the church, then somebody's going to bring something in, and that church is going to become impregnated of something different than Jesus Christ.
Right.
So the church must always be in subjection to the Word, because the Word is their protection.
Right.
And that's who they're ordained to. Now what if the church says, but I don't want him to be my leader. I'm going to be my own lead, my own. Okay? What if they do that? The church may think they're leading themselves, but they're not. Because they're vulnerable. Right?
Right.
So you realize there's a leadership part of God and there's a following part, and he separated those.
Yeah.
And so the church does not have their own ability to lead themselves.
Right.
They may think they do. And they might go and create big organization, but it's Satan who's now put another seed there, and they're operating under another seed, doing something contrary to the Word.
Right.
Now, this all breaks down into the natural, that women are to have leadership over them. That's why in the Bible, that the woman was to be under the leadership of her dad, and her protection of her dad, to such a degree that if she made a vow and the dad says, I don't agree with that, God wouldn't hold her to it. But if she made a vow and the dad held his peace and let it go, then God would hold her responsible to that vow. The dad had the ability to protect her from making a vow that would destroy her life or go out and do something that would destroy her life. He had that right and that power and authority over her. And it wasn't being a male chauvinist. It was a protection.
Right.
Like Christ has protection over the church.
Right, yeah.
But you see, she must submit herself to that protection in order to have it.
Right.
Yeah. He is responsible by God to watch over that, right? And so the father would be there, and then so when finally the proper suitable male would come along and the father would agree that this man is a decent man and could marry her, then that headship would be transferred from the dad to that husband. And now she is underneath the leadership of her husband, because she's never to be without it. She's to be under that leadership of husband. And then you'll find out the scripture said that the husband, if she makes a vow, he has the ability to say, I don't let that stand. But if he keeps his peace, God will hold her responsible to that vow.
Yeah.
Right? So that male attribute, that male figure is the strength and the protection and so forth. And this is something God did. Now Satan can get into humanity and mess up all of our thinking, and then we're all thinking, oh, this is terrible. This is oppression. No, it's not oppression. It's protection.
Right.
Is it oppression for us to say that Christ alone must be the leader of the church? Oh, we're just beat down. We can't do nothing. No, if we get away from that, that's when we get in trouble.
Right.
So he must be under the leadership. But then what if masculinity, that leadership of masculinity is being destroyed, and now she has no one that she can go to? That's her husband. What if her husband's a wimp? So this is a concept I'm trying to point out here. So God separated those two. And just because he wanted to. And so there are things that the woman is very gifted to do. And all, we're not saying she's, you know, we understand that in Christ she's got equal status with him under submission. Right? When the church will truly submit to Christ, they've got the authority and the masculinity of Christ because they're following with him. But when they separate from him, they have no authority.
Right.
So in the church itself and in the female, she does not have the masculine quality because God separated. She don't have it. I don't care what they think. She doesn't have masculinity. Only he does. Only Christ in the church, only the male has masculinity, the female doesn't. Now Satan will lie and come along and tell her, now you can do the things that a man's supposed to do, but she's being lied to and deceived. And that's what happened in the fall.
Right.
Everything I'm talking about is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden when Satan got her away from her Adam and another seed came forth. That was the fall. And that's what you and I are faced with all the time, every day.
Right.
And everything that's going on. And so there's many great things that she can do that he can't do. Right?
Right.
We believe that. Mm. But you would never, send the weaker vessel out to war. If we heard that the Mexican army was coming across the border and was going to take over America, say, okay, Sister Vicky, Sister Mary, these sisters here, those back there, don't try to remember all names because it takes me a little while here, but you understand, I know their names, it's just while I'm here, but let's just get the sisters. We'll send them down there to fight. What kind of man would do that? What kind of woman would want to do that? You follow me? You would never send your feminine, your weaker. That's not her job. She can take care of home and create a home and an environment and raise children and so forth in a way that a man can't. But he can go down there and fight that army like she'll never be able to. And it's a lie of the devil to think that you can put women in military to go do that. Because let me tell you something. When you go out as a woman and you go out there and you get captured by the enemy, you know what they're going to do. They don't do that to men. They might torture the men or whatever, but the woman, you know what they do. Because it's all going back to seed and transfer of seed and the masculine and feminine and the conquering. You follow me?
Right.
See? And that's what Satan has done to humanity. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying, has all this time, is trying to throw Christ out from being the leader and the masculine figure over the church. And so, you know, we are sheep, and sheep cannot lead themselves. They have to have a shepherd. You'd never say, okay, there's a wolf coming. Sheep, you go out there and fight that wolf. What kind of shepherd would do that?
Right.
See, there's the masculine side, and so, you know, Satan has set out all these years to try and remove Christ from being the masculine figure in the church. And because of that, listen, judgment, when the scripture says judgment starts at the house of God, and then it goes out. So when the church lets down the bar, the world has to fall. Mm-hmm. God's holding the church is responsible for letting down the bar. And so when the churches begin to let Satan come in and the church's word now has preeminence over Christ, see what happens? Now listen, how many knows who Brother Bram said was the first church that organized, man organized church, Catholic Church. And what is it that they say, especially when he gives the example of talking to the Catholic priest, and the Catholic priest was trying to say something contrary to the scriptures, and Brother Bram said, that's the word says, and the priest said, it doesn't matter what the word says, it's what the church says. I mean, he knows that, remembers that, right? So there you are. It doesn't matter what Christ says, it's what the church says. That's the authority we have. Right? And so, doesn't matter what the man wants, You go with what she wants. So it's the removing of the role of masculinity and his ability to express that masculinity, to protect and do all those things, removing of that from him and giving it to her. But she doesn't have it, so it has to be an anointing that comes from somewhere else. And so the world has went that way, and that's exactly what we see today. Even last, I mentioned the other day, our Brother Bram talked about that, you know, that even the foods we eat and all the things, you know, the hybrid things and the medicines and all the things that they're doing, that all of those things that it's causing, here's the way he said it, some of the comments that tie it back to the message, making women narrower at the hips and wider at the shoulders, and men the opposite. Right? Remember, that's some of the comments. He was telling us back then that the things that science had produced for us and the medicines and all these different things, that they were destroying masculinity in men and promoting it in women.
Right.
And he knew what he was talking about because he was a prophet. And now science comes along, and now they're telling us, yeah, there's all kinds of things in our products that we use that's destroying testosterone in men.
That's
right. He knew what he was talking about. So, yeah, we can listen to it now. Science says it, but some people just automatically reject it. Oh, the prophet said it, then it can't be right. Oh, it's coming through the church channel, it can't be right. But it is, because it's God. Yeah. And so, even the things that we eat and the products we use, it's perverted. So, in Satan's Eden, Brother Bannon tells us this. He says, so I was, and this is one of many, many times, many sermons where he says things like this. He says, the other day I was over at Howard Johnson, not this one here, but the one on the road going out, and I just sat back in amazement, he said. Here come a little boy along, his mouth open, and he had dark hair here. I don't know the motions he's doing, but he had combed it over this way and put a roller in it and curled it up around the top of his eyes, looking out through the top of his eyes, going on. And if I ever seen perversion, see, he wouldn't believe it. He could prove maybe he was male, but in his spirit, he's female. He don't know what side of the house he belongs on. That's right. How perverted, but that's how Satan, that's what Satan does. He perverts the nations. He perverts the church. He perverts the people. He's a deceiver. He's a perverter of the original truth. God made a man a man. He made a woman a woman. And he dressed them different, and he meant for them to stay that way and act that way. One is feminine and the other is masculine. He separated Adam in the Garden of Eden and did this, and separated Eve from him, and now wears her bangs, talking about him. She cuts her hair like his, and he tries to wear his hair, his, like hers. She wears his outside clothes, and he wears her inside clothes, talking about shorts, right? Now that sounds sacrilegious, but I don't mean it that way. It's the absolute gospel truth. If you don't know it, then there's something wrong with you. You're either blind or never been out on the streets. And she thinks and he thinks that it's right. That's the kicker. See, like that man I used to work with, he said, if a person is deceived, do they know it? No, they don't. He thinks and she thinks it's right. The churches think it's okay for their word to have preeminence over Christ.
Right.
They're convinced of it. Right?
Yeah.
And men think it's okay to do the things they do, to act, dress and act like a woman or whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, we could say, well, in our place, you know, here in this part of the country, we could say, it's wrong for a man to wear a dress. Pretty much everybody would say, that's right. But then you could say it's wrong for a woman to wear pants. and they won't agree with you. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference? The point is that God made them different, and they are to be different. Right? And so, he's got something different for the man than he does for the woman. And he expects them to act different. Right? And when that begins to get blurred, this is part of the gross darkness. This is part of the perversion, because now she's beginning to think it's okay, and he's beginning to think it's okay, and it's not okay. God has never declared it to be okay. And when a vindicated prophet come along who had visitations every day from the angel of the Lord, he didn't make it okay. Because it's not okay.
Right.
Man is to be man, masculine, to do his job, be burly.
Yeah.
And women are to be the feminine.
Right.
Yeah.
And all the things that go with that. You know, and for you as an audience listening here this morning, the congregation, you know, you could agree with that. There's many places in this nation where they don't believe those things anymore.
Yeah.
And in the world. And they're deceived to think that. And so, it's a perversion. Masculinity, I mentioned this the other day, can only be developed in the presence of masculinity. I made the statement the other day, a mother can never make a man out of her son. Because she doesn't have the masculinity in her that it takes to draw that out of him. She doesn't have that. It's not saying anything evil about her. She can do other things that boy needs, that child needs growing up, that the dad can't do. But there comes a time in life that boy who's got the gift of masculinity in him, that gift has to be promoted and brought forth and made real in the presence of his dad and the interaction with his dad and the correction of his dad and the role model of his dad. Follow me? A woman can't do that. That's why the scripture said, I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man. It's not being mean to the woman. It's saying you don't have what it takes to lead and guide men, because there's a quality about man that it can only come out from masculinity teaching and roleship and authority. That can only be promoted. You can only make men in the presence of that kind of environment. See? So God knows what he's talking about. Do not let woman teach or usurp authority, because that she's lesser. And if she's in authority over him when it comes time in his life for that to develop, if she is in authority over him and pushes him down and keeps him under her, what does that make him when he's now under her? When he's designed by God to have leadership role and for the female to follow, and now he's being pushed down underneath the follower.
Right.
See what I'm saying? God has a program of how this is to work. And so I said last week that, you know, the child will begin to challenge his mother, and it's at that point where the dad needs to be, it needs to go to him. The dad needs to say, you need to be respectful to your mother. But then that child has got to be able to handle the no that comes from dad. He's got to be able to handle the correction and the direction and say, no, you can't do that. You do this. In the realm and the way it comes out of a man. And if all that boy's ever had is just the way mom deals with it, he's not going to develop and be the leader that he's supposed to be in the homes. Hey, you see what's happened out there? Why the world's the way it is? Because it always goes back to one thing. They've left the Word of God and the patterns and the corrections of life that comes from the Word that should be there. But in a restoration, for us, if we submit to this word, then those will not come nigh our dwelling. We don't have to have those in our house and in our experience. We listen to it. And so, I was thinking about, I said, is Satan a male? Is he a male attribute? Think about it. And you go, and the answer is yes. There's a few scriptures that actually says, but if you don't know this, you're going to like, this guy, he who knows what kind of nature he is. But what his nature is, he's a perverter. And so it takes masculinity to develop masculinity. The woman cannot maintain her innocence and her femininity around worldly men. The scripture said she is to be chaste, keep her at home. She's to raise her children, to love, you know, and even the older women can teach the younger women. In no place does it say for a woman to teach man. But she can teach her children, right? But then there's a transition time when they come away from being, right, a boy, being a little child coming into man. Then it has to go to man because she's not to be an authority over the man. You follow me? He should have honor to his parents. We understand that. But then she does have scripture to be teach and teach the younger sisters, right? So the young lady can still, mom can still do that. Because why? Because that girl's femininity can be developed. And mom can teach her to be the things that she needs to be by example. But she can't do that for the boy. Yeah. Follow me? So that's why Brother Graham said, you know, if... You know, the scripture says for her to be chaste, keepers at home, and then somebody said, well, can she work? Here's what Brother Ram said. You go look it up. I was reading it this morning. And he said, you know, if she's got a husband and he's well capable of working, why? He said, I would think she'd want to stay home and raise them children to love the Lord if he can go out there and work. But he said, if you have a bill comes along, a medical bill or something like that, or the kids need clothes or something like that, he said, yeah, it's okay for her to go and work to help pay that. But then when it's all overdone with, see, then you come back. And so it's okay to do that. But he said, but I'm against women going out here and working in these places where these men are telling filthy jokes and all this nonsense, right? Because that's no place. And he said, if she's going to go work, as long as she's a Holy Ghost filled woman and you can trust her, right? But I'm against them working out here in this filthy conversation and all. See the whole pattern of God's program, and it's the continuity all the way through. And the prophet come along and he couldn't say anything different, or else he wouldn't be a prophet from God, because everything has an influence on us. And if she goes out there, I have seen it in the workplace. And you take a woman who's got virtues and you put her around a bunch of ungodly men and you have her working there for years, and they'll chip away, chip away, and chip away until she's no longer. I know it. I know what I'm talking about. Because I've seen it. I've seen the workplace where them women would go with somebody else out somewhere, do something they shouldn't when they're married. I've seen it. And so there's a reason for these things. So there's a masculinity that should be there. And so, like I said, under a restored message, we can combat these things so that they don't overtake us. That only with our eyes, that shows you, when you read Psalms 91, it shows you there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. But we only with our eyes will see it. These things won't come nigh us as long as the Lord is our protector and our guide and so forth. But so we should be able to combat these things, but in order to do so, we have to fight against them. We have to take the wisdom that God has given us in this revelation and see what they're doing and how it's ruining masculinity and how it's ruining women and young ladies and make them masculine themselves. We've got to fight against those things from coming into our homes and into our lives. Yeah. We have to take this up as an issue. Take this up as a daily thing that we as parents, as moms and dads, that we fight this. Because when you send your kids to school, you know they're getting bombarded with this modern day stuff. You know it. You've got to have special care for that child to combat what they're being influenced by. Because it's when your grandson comes in and says, you know what? I think I'd be a better woman. When that happens, you know there's pressures. And what's happened? Because the whole thing is designed in such a way to destroy the masculinity in little boys that are coming up. And they're looking at this going like, man, We just get criticized all the time. We're like, you know, enemies. So I think I'd rather just go over here and just be a female instead. That's part of the attack. To destroy masculinity in our children, in our boys. It's physical through the hybrid stuff, and you know, but it's mental, spiritual battle, and it's all what Satan set out to do in the first place is to get Christ, the leadership, out of the way, and let the female be the one that's coming to power. And when that happens, as we read in Isaiah, it's because you're under a curse. Because a masculine role is to be leadership over the family, over the church, Christ, the Word. The influence to doubt one's gender is very heavy out there now. They're led to believe that you can actually question your own DNA. Think about it. That's a mindset out there that they can actually say, you know, it's a legitimate thing. I can say, you know what, I don't think I'm a male. I think I'm a female. That's bizarre to me. And it's just like we said the other day, you know, some of these schools around here, somebody, they're coming in and like, well, I'm a cat. I want a litter box. I'm a cat. And the school boards are voting and they're like, oh, put a litter box in there in the bathrooms. And like over here in North Side or South Side, that girl's coming there wanting to be a dinosaur. And parents said it identifies as a dinosaur. That's what the parents said over the phone. And the school board's meeting and they're trying to figure out what to do. And I said, I'll tell you what to do. You call them in there and they say, this is a school for humans, not dinosaurs. Go home. Because we don't teach dinosaurs. We only teach humans. But they don't. But again, where's the school boards that's got masculinity that can say what I just said? Oh, no, well, you know, we gotta, no. Black is black, white is white. Where is it? Because it's been destroyed. We don't have leadership. Brethren said, where is our Patrick Henry, or where is our George Washington? Where are they? Well, they're not around anymore. Because we got a bunch of dish rags, as Brother Brandon would say, trying to lead the country and lead the schools and lead all these things. Because they've gotten away from the truth of the Word. And so now they can question. And I was thinking, and I don't know, maybe Brother Dylan can answer this. I don't know, but if you analyze a DNA chain, can you look in there and tell whether that's a human or an animal? So if it's a human, can you look in there and tell whether it's male or female? They're shaking their head, right? But we can come along and say, but that's not who you really are. Your DNA may say that you're male, but you're actually female. You talk about faith. You talk about calling something that's not as though it is, like our father Abraham. Right. See what they're doing? It's okay for them to say, oh, no, that's not what it is. We're going to call it something else. But it's stupid when we, the church, try to do that, to believe for our healings and so forth. But DNA says that they're male. And that's why, you know, now you look at it, so it's like, well, you know, what gender were you assigned at birth? Right? And then what gender are you? Or what do you identify with? I forget the three, but I looked it up here a while back on our insurance through work. And filling out all the, making sure everything was right, our address and all the different things. And there it was. Anyway, there was three different options there. Not three different options. Three different questions for me to tell about my gender. And one of them was birth. And then another one was like, well, what do you identify with as? And if you identify as anything different than what your DNA says you are, then you're perverted. And yet we are in a world now where what I'm saying is hate speech. Because they've lost their mind, just like the prophet said they had in his day. Mm-hmm. He could see it. Why would we want to live in this world much longer when it's going that way? Because they're coming to their peak of this world system just before judgment. And so we must use this message to make sure that these things don't come nigh our dwelling. Amen? Because God has given us the revelation to know these things. And we've got to, but if we don't use them, then the world's going to encroach upon us. The whole world's going this way. Remember I've said before, you know, a flood, when a flood comes, when all water floods, you've seen those in the news lately. And you can't just say, okay, all right, you can flood my yard, but you don't come in my house. No, it comes in. And it goes into every crack and crevice inside the walls, up in the cupboards, because a flood doesn't discriminate. And so the world is being taken away with all this stuff, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all these things we're talking about, and it's a flood because they're all being taken away, and somehow God has said, but it won't come nigh your dwelling. If, you know, you dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, if you let the word be your guide. Mm-hmm. So the people, they put the token on the door, and when that death angel come, he couldn't come. That door was not open for him because the token was there. And people without the token, that death angel come right in their house and kill their firstborn. Mm-hmm. Don't you believe that God is pleased when he sees you take a stand for his word? When Satan has deceived the world and the world has took it hook, line, and sinker, but God has showed you that it's wrong, and you take a stand, don't you think God's pleased? It's a struggle. It's a battle. It's where we find ourselves in history. This is where we're at. But this is what we fight. And I believe God is very pleased when he sees people stand for his truth, regardless. So you see, no matter what Satan does, it's always, in whatever form it is, it's always going back to him trying to remove the authority of the word out of the lives of the people, because that's their protection.
Yeah.
That's their husband. That's their the masculine figure that will keep them and will provide everything they have need of if they'll stay with it. Yeah. Right? Solomon called it wisdom and the different things. If we'll just stay with it, it'll take care of us. And so it's just him trying to remove that. You know, when a boy is a mama's boy, it's okay for a little boy to be mama's boy, you know, but it's not when they get bigger and they've got this unhealthy reliance on mama and it's a mama's boy. You can look up the definitions of it, but you understand. And so when he's now should be a man, coming into a man and masculinity and a leadership role, and yet he has to have mama. Then there's a perversion, there's a suppression of masculinity going on there. Now, don't get me wrong, mom will always be mom. And even, I think, maybe Brother Daniel said this the other day, soldiers dying on the battlefield crying for mama. Because there's that place where she has, but you see, I can't remember the passive aggressive or whatever the wording there, where mama has too much influence on that boy as he's grown and shouldn't be. So just like the boy should not be relying on mama to an unhealthy degree when he gets older, mama should not be trying to put upon him that unhealthy control, and right? Mama should know it's time for dad, it's time for him to become a man, and that only gets developed when he has to hear the no's and the yes and the guidance and the correction and the burningness of the man, because that's what makes him man. If all he's used to is the little, no, honey, I think, you know, what is he going to be? Mm-hmm. You got to have men. Burning. And so all of this is an attack that started in the garden, and it's been coming all the way down through history. And so, mama should make sure that he's present in the father in that realm of masculinity so that he can become a man. When the boy will not come to dad for something, but he'll go to mama. Because he knows she's soft and so forth or whatever. And he knows, I don't want to go to dad because God, dad's going to tell me no. And I can't handle that. What are you when you can't do that? You're not masculine. You're not developing into masculinity. You know, I'll go to Mama, and Mom, you go talk to Dad. Do you see what I'm talking about? How terrible that is? See, God has these roles, and He wants us to fulfill them properly. And done right, you can't destroy it if it's done right. And so, when Mom permits that, then she's letting him avoid the very thing that can make him a man, make him a protector, a provider, a leader. If he's only comfortable in a woman's environment, there's something wrong with that. We had a guy, I won't call his name, in school. He hung out with girls. He loved the girl. The girls loved him because he wasn't a threat. Come to find out after he graduated, he was a homosexual. But girls liked him because he wasn't, and that was an environment he wanted, right? There was a perversion there. Mm-hmm. See? So, if he cannot face authority, then what is he? He's robbed of his masculinity. If he's afraid to face the challenges and the different things out there, and then the parents enable that. In other words, when he should be going out there and facing the challenges of the day and going out and doing the things he's supposed to, but he's afraid to, and then his parents enable that by allowing him to have something to fall back on. Right? When the parent, like Brother Brandon, he said it's parent delinquency. When parents should be putting them out there and making sure that he has to and she has to come into the environment that they're supposed to. And so, you know, I would say to the son, if you won't face authority, then you're setting yourself up for a defeated life of being a coward all those years. God expects you to be a man. He created you to be a man, to be masculine, be a leader. How can you expect to lead a home and a family if you can't be in your own personal life? See? So, an invincible army is an army that has a male attribute among them, because an invincible army keeps getting up and trying. Yeah. Right? If you're defeated, but we keep getting up, we keep going. And so, same thing with mothers, with femininity. If the mother won't respect and submit to the husband in front of the children, then what is she doing? So I mentioned this last week. You know, if she will not do that, if she's tearing down Dad, if she's not honoring his authority, then what she's doing is she's weakening Dad's voice to speak into that son's life and show him what masculinity is. And she's telling both the boy and the girl, well, it's okay to resist authority and leadership if you don't agree with it. That's what they're doing, right? And so I said the other day, you know, if a mom's been doing that, she needs to repent of that. We've got to get back to putting our mind around this the way God made it. That there is a responsibility for the man, and God intends for him to be responsible. And he intends for the wife to observe that, and respect that, and submit to that, and teach the children to do so, and to make every function work properly, masculine and feminine. Almost every, possibly every, but I'll say almost, every children's show out there that you can watch teaches children to rebel against their parents and against authority. Yeah. And you can say, well, Brother Tony, I don't know if I agree with it. Okay, bring me one. If you think you've got one, bring me, and I'll sit down and watch it with you. And I bet you within 10, 15 minutes, I can show you where they're teaching. Look at the violence that they show in cartoons, right? Even Bugs Bunny. Violence. And so they teach, you know, rebelling against authority and so forth, and wonder why things are the way they are. Because that's what the children are feeding on. So when we know the world is at its peak of sharing this kind of nonsense and this kind of death, then we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to be wise and focused to combat this. We need to, every day when we get up and we send our children to school or whatever they, you know, whatever, we need to pray about this and commit this to God and combat what they're going to be exposed to. Some people can homeschool. If you can do that, fine. If you can, either way, the interaction of this world, we have to combat these things. So in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, let's restore masculinity. Let's restore the leadership that's responsible. And if the dad is responsible, make him responsible. Put it underneath him. And say, Dad, you know, you are responsible. God holds you responsible. So let me get underneath that, and I know I'll be protected as long as I'm listening to Dad. And wife, same thing. And you know, I said the other day, go back to last week and listen to it. The audio is messed up on Facebook, but it's on the website for audio. You can listen to it because there's things I said then I'm not now. But so make Dad responsible. He is responsible. God holds him responsible. And now get underneath him and make it easy for him to be responsible. Right? The scripture said, you know, to deserve those that are in authority over you and submit to them and so forth. Because that they can do it without grief, because it's not profitable for you if your leadership is having through grief to lead you because you're constantly fighting it. It's not profitable for you, right? If you're doing that to your parents, it's not profitable to you, giving them hardship. They're trying to fulfill their role as the leader of the house, the dad is, and mom underneath dad, and you're constantly against that. And you'll see it when you get married and have children of your own, and it'll be magnified. Right. You heard that phrase, we're paying for a raising. That's right, because that's a concept of God. And so, make the man responsible. Remind him, and every time, here's something else, because the man has in him to be that leadership and to be that help. Every time you'll come and submit to him humbly to his leadership, you are reminding him he's responsible. And that's what, if proper respect and honor is given to the man, like I said the other day, he'll go slay dragons to protect the family. Christ is husband over the church. And I ask you, did he go out and slay the devil? Right? He went out and defeated the devil for who? His church. And a man in the natural will do the same thing for his family if he's given the right position in that home. He will do it. He will give it to his last breath for his wife and children if they hold him in that position that he's responsible for, that God put him in. He will do it. And so, I mentioned a while ago what happened in the fall. The fall happened was when the serpent got Eve away from Adam, got Eve away from her masculine figure. So how do we get back to Eden? We get back to Eden by getting back to our Adam. Getting back to our word, the masculine attribute of God, our mate. So, if a woman can get back to her position, she can pull out of him anything that she needs. So, if the church can get back to Christ, you can get everything you need from him. Like I said, you wouldn't send the church to fight devils. We send him to fight devils. Right? We don't go out there, brother, and says we don't have power. He has power. We don't have power, but under his leadership and submission to him, we have authority. Right? We don't have it in ourselves, but through unity we have it. And so we can have the protection, the healing, love, joy, salvation, fellowship, communion. We can have all those things from him. And he'll slay the every dragon that comes our way as long as we put him in the position that he is and the responsibility he has, and let him be those things over us. He'll supply all of it if she'll just restore him to his position of masculinity. He's built for it, and you can draw all of that out of him if you just do it. Amen. So we want to restore masculinity back into our homes and into our lives. Let men be men. And then reap the blessings that comes by doing that. Amen. trusting in all. Lord, I realize that sharing these 10 things is a hard word, I think, as we can see in the scriptures when they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? But Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. And I realize in a generation, many generations that have been taught these things, and we've come so far that the world is, their thinking is so far from your word, and we've been raised in that. Lord, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around it. But I pray, Lord, that in this great power, this message of grace and mercy that you poured out upon us, Lord, that there is sufficient grace to help us come to these things, these revelations. I pray, God, that you would help each one to pull these down into their own prayer closet, their own prayer life, Lord, and may they struggle and wrestle with you until they come to that place, Lord, where these things are manifest in their life. And Lord, I know that if that happens, that you will show them through their obedience, through your reciprocation, they will see the fruits that unfold from it. We love you, Lord, and we just commit each one into your hands now. Pray that this word not depart from their hearts and their lives. Let's get in Jesus' name.